Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, hi there. Another Saturday with my friends. Thank you for tuning in to the Hour for Power. And of course, you're going to get power, the Hour of Power with Dr. Cupertino on the Dr. Cupertino Show. Hi, this is Marcia. But before we move one second forward, bow your heads, please, for a moment of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, God in heaven. Hallelujah. We just come to you right now thanking you for another day. Some are saying, oh, I wished I never woke up this morning. But you know, you put your spirit in us. You told us to be a live wire, be on fire, and most of all, be a walking, living, praying, and preaching example of your son, Christ Jesus, who came down through 42 generations. He did just what he said he was going to do. He went all the way to the cross, all the way to Golgotha. He gave his life. He gave up the ghost. And when he looked around, he said, it is finished. And that was the end of his life. But not the end of his existence as who he said he was. He went all the way back up to heaven with the redemption price of mankind in his hand, his heart, and his soul. And he presented to a living God. Therefore, we can say, Abba, Father, we can cry out and say, God. For you we live and for you we die. Thank you, thank you, thank you for an opportunity to face our children with the right example. Another opportunity to face our wife, our husband, with a good example. Another opportunity to let the world know that no matter what's going on from sea to shining sea, you've already sent your prophets down also through generations to warn the wicked, to warn those that would turn back in rebellion and go around with the story on their tongue and in their mouth that said and that bespoke, God is dead. God is far away. You're not here. Thank you for a chance to prove that wrong. Thank you for a chance to say hallelujah to the one and only God, true God of the universe, who Psalms 83:18 says, King James Version, that people may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, art the Most High God over all the earth. You said it's going to be many gods going around, even the big God known as the Antichrist in the last days, the end time of things. But that people may know that thou, whose name art Jehovah, is the Most High God. That's what we're going to talk about today, the Most High God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this chance. We love you and we need you. And we're not trying to get along without you. We tried and we failed. Look at us. Look at us. We failed. We decided to walk on and run on in some other name. And look at us. Boy, aren't we sorry. Aren't our children sorry? Look at our grandchildren coming up behind them. Oh, have mercy. Have mercy, have mercy. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus. No matter what the world say, they've been talking and look at them. Can't wiggle out of not one problem they've gotten themselves in. But we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, hallelujah, you guys. Well, I'm back again, standing on 2 feet and talking out of one mouth, all about God, Jesus. Thank you for tuning in. You know, our topic today is something that's really needed. You know, there's so much going on and people are just running around saying, oh, my God, I don't even know if I want to hear about God. I mean, you know, I've been praying, I got bad luck. I've been hoping and praying, and I got bad luck. I don't pray at all, and I got bad luck. I'm not thinking about God, and I got bad luck. People are so confused. My God, they don't know what to do. And those that have turned to God and that want to stay with God, you know, even they're getting jaundiced and confused. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm going to survive not being, you know, with a job that's paying a paycheck every week or every 2 weeks. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I have a shutoff notice for all my utilities. I just don't know what to do. You know, I'm just reaching both hands out. And it seems like God is so far away. You know, I've just been groping in prayer, and I've been looking upward, looking downward. I'm just hoping, hoping, hoping. But it looks like God is too far away to even look my way and to hear my plight and to see the conditions that I am in. Many are saying that this old Bible God, you know, he is not relevant and he's worthless in our lives here today. Christians, too, are even just almost put asunder. And especially those that are running around, you know, the wealthy, the powerful, and those that are famous and that are relying on their wealth and fame instead of depending on God. My goodness, they are even saying, you know what, I ain't got time for it. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to know about him. You know, Grandma talked about him, and every time I saw her, it looked like she was in bad luck. She's having bad luck. Bad luck was following her in behind and in front of her. But I tell you this morning, God is still God, and his son is still on the throne. No matter how much money you got, no matter if you have nothing at all. And you know, Paul, the disciple turned apostle, the apostle Paul had it right. He said that Christians, those that rely on God, those that rely on the true sovereign God to lead them, should live in contentment. And when a person is content, if he's in the lion's den, he's going to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. If he's walking down the street and the earthquake starts, he's going to say, hallelujah, praise God. If he pick up the phone and it's bad news on it, he's going to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But right now, many cannot do that. They're feeling, hey, something's going on here. Something is wrong. It seems like God is not doing nothing. Every time I pick up the paper, bad news. Turn the TV on, bad news. Go home, put the key in the door, bad news. Look into my son's face, bad news. Call my mama, bad news. Talk to my sister, bad news. Good God from heaven, what in the heck is going on? This is on the hearts of people. They're saying, if there is a God, he's not listening. Well, we're going to find out today on this show that God has a heart and soul too. He said in Genesis he felt just really sick at heart that he had even created man on the face of the earth, and he was going to do something about it. So God has feelings. He's thinking. He's looking. He's watching on. But here's the situation. Man has got to turn upward and say, wait a minute, do I hear anything? Am I sensing anything? Am I feeling this Holy Ghost spirit of a God urging me toward right action? God has feelings. God has a heart. He has a heart. He said in Isaiah, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are much, much higher than your ways. So we're going to hear a little bit about how God feels about matters. But before I jump into Ezekiel chapter 26, if you have your Bibles, you might want to grab it. We're going to first talk about how man has gotten into the mess he's in the first place. Many of you recall, and I do hope so, a lot of Christians on this line this morning, but many of us recall, according to Scripture, how that this Creator God, this invisible spirit, this active force of power, created man. He put man there in the garden, and he gave man an edict. He gave him an edict. He created woman, and he gave her an edict. He gave them both an edict. But to the man, the one that he created first, he said, now listen up. Don't be no fool. I'm going to put you in this garden and give you everything you need, and you can live forever. But I want you to know I'm in charge. I'm in control. I'm in charge. I was here first. I don't want you to touch a particular tree in the middle of that garden. Now, I know this may sound far-fetched, and those that don't believe in God or trust God, of course the Bible says you're a fool. He says you're almost a damn fool. But to those that believe and that realize that if a book is still hanging around somewhere on somebody's coffee table or shelf, it's got some kind of power in it, something. He told the man, he said, now listen, don't touch that tree. Don't eat of its fruit. Well, most of you know the story. The woman that was created did just so. She listened to the voice of a serpent, and then she handed Adam, the man, some of that to eat, and he did just so. So because of that one act of disobedience, they were thrown out the garden. They were put out. And, of course, any offspring they had outside of the garden, they, too, were under the same edict. It's like, hey, it was programmed in their DNA. Oh, my God, you know, you're going to die now. You aren't going to live forever. In fact, you're not going to live 1,000 years. You're going to almost make it to that point. But that's it. Cut off. That's it. No more. So because of that act of disobedience, which is really an act of rebellion, here we are, centuries, centuries, thousands, thousands, thousands of years later, still walking upon the ground suffering. But you know what? The one called Jesus came down from heaven. He looked down and he said, the psalmist declared that the things that were with the sons of men is what Jesus Christ felt fondness for. And he gave his life to erase that Adamic sin that had plagued all of humankind, all of mankind. We had no chance. But even though that was the act that Jesus Christ performed and took that bag of redemption power on up to heaven, we still, in the human form, we're still getting sick and we're dying. We're following the pathway of our Father. But one thing about it, he made a way for us to hold up holy hands and say, oh, God, hallelujah, have mercy. Have mercy. I'm your son, I'm your child. Take me in. But the consequences, we're still suffering. The consequences of mom and dad, we're still suffering. When that act happened, God could have just wiped them out, and that would have been the end of humanity. But he said, you know what? I started it. I'm going to finish it. He said, I started this, and I'm going to finish it. So here we are, still walking, still existing, still living, still breathing. And in human form that has been redeemed by Jesus Christ, but still in these pockets and vessels of flesh, we are still held captive to living in a world dominated by sin. Many don't hear that word, oh, sin. You know, what is sin? You know, I don't care about sin. I tell you what, you're going to know about sin. You're going to feel the edicts of sin. And you know why? Because the Bible says God is not to be mocked. Whatever man is sowing, that is what he's going to reap. And aren't we reaping a whirlwind? You know, the ancient prophets, some call them the major prophets, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. These prophets of old prophesied. When man got to a point where he was almost at the brink of self-destruction, God sent the prophets. He sent the prophets to warn them. And one particular phase of the people was recorded in the book of Ezekiel chapter 26. I'm just going to read something here for a moment. It says here in chapter 1, and it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, son of man, because that Tyrus had set against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people, she is turned unto me, I shall be replenished. Now look at her, she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes its waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. I have spoken it, saying the Lord God. And it shall become a spoil to the nations. And her daughters, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. And they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of horses from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field. And he shall make a fort against thee, and cast a mount against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee. And then switching to 21, chapter 24, he says, speak to the house of Israel. Now, we just read about Babylon, what their fate was prophesied in Ezekiel. But now he's turning his attention to the house of Israel, so-called God's people, those that said, oh, yes, for God I live, for God I die. Yes, I'm going to uphold the Constitution. Yes, 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 in you we trust. He says, speak to those folks. Speak unto the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God. Now Ezekiel's a messenger. So the God of heaven is saying, thus saith me, the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary. Uh-oh, his place of worship. He says, in that day I'm going to profane it, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and daughters, whom ye have left, shall fall by the sword. And ye shall do as I have done. Ye shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. And he goes on to talk more about a judgment. But why did this happen? Well, let me give you a little clue. Rebellion, and those in the city, the land, the statehood, turning their backs on God. So when we pray and when we hold our holy hands up and when we put our hands in our faces and cover our faces and say, good God, what in the hell is going on? Every day is something new, some new carnage, new crimes, new mass murders, new crazy murders, new murders with no rhyme or reason. What is going on? God, what are you doing? Why are we suffering? Why are you allowing this? We have a clue. When people turn away from God, I don't care if it's by their walk, I don't care if it's by their talk, their speech, I don't care if it's by their actions, I don't care whatever the reason, I just don't care. Whatever the reason, God doesn't either. What he cares about is worship and adoration from his people. So when man who feels he's just big enough to do whatever he wants, you know, I don't see him, I can't feel him, the world of science says he doesn't even exist, oh my goodness. What in the world, what do we think is supposed to happen? The Bible says to us, it says, hey, return to me, God, and I'll return to you. But when we turn away from God by action, speech, whatever, then, of course, God is not obligated to do one thing. He says, I shall save my people. So if he said in Romans, I'm going to save my people, I'm going to save those calling on my name in the last days. I've already wiped out the figurative nations. You got the Bible in front of you to prove it. You got the example of what they did so that you wouldn't fall in their ways. You got the example of what I did to them when they would not follow in my ways. So what can we say now? Here we got church shootings. Here we got men and women throwing children off of bridges. Here we got wives watching more pornography than the husbands. Here we got men, leaders, those supposed to be leading planet Earth, those supposed to be leading head of corporations, running overseas for whatever reason, sexual gratification, you name it. And we could go on and on and on, and we know this is true. Just pick up any newspaper in any city. It's one crisis after another. This shows the fruit of following our own ways. So how can we blame God and say, oh, you know, I'm praying, I ain't going to pray no more. Forget him. Maybe he is dead. Ain't nothing good happening. I'm broke, hungry, ain't got nothing. Broke, busted, and disgusted. Everything I put my hands on, it crumbles. Everybody I talk to, they're worse off than I am. Can't get no money, can't get no loan, ain't got no gas in my car. What the hell is going on? Working every day, still ain't got nothing. Suffering, suffering, suffering. Where is this God? Where is he at? He sent his son. He sent his son. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he sent his son. Then here comes the march of the disciples. Then the march of those that became apostles. Talking, telling, preaching, leading. We've decided not to follow that. So how can we, when we hear that some group has gotten beheaded, unmarked grave with thousands laying in them, what can we do? Look up and our child dead in the bed. Doctors don't know what happened. Walk in bill of health, 2 months later dead of cancer. What are we supposed to do? God, from Genesis to Revelation, has already laid it out. But we're just running crazy. We're just jealous and envious of each other. We're trying to get what each other has. We're trying to portray that we're more than what we are rather than go to God and say, make me what you'd have me to be. We're living a life far stretched out from God until we get on that hospital gurney led for major surgery. Then all of a sudden, oh, God, Lord, help me. God is not far away. The Bible says Jehovah God is an ever-present help in the day of trouble. But now just listen to that, in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble. So we walking around, big time in it, hey, hey. Ain't got no trouble, ain't got no worry, got a pocket full of money, hey, hey. Listen, listen. Then you're telling God by your actions that you don't need him. So he ain't no punk patsy. He's not just laying around in the sky waiting for a bellhop to say, okay, I'm ready. Come on now, God. The Bible says we are to seek this God while he may be found. Well, how do we seek him? Number one, this is how you seek him. You'll fall down on your knees and you say, Lord God, have mercy. Take me in. I don't know nothing about you. I don't even know if you really exist, but I've heard about you. If you're alive and well up there, help me, God, have mercy. Number two, we've got to ask God to help us walk in his way. You see what's going on now? Satan is leading a nation away from God. That's been his plan from the Garden of Eden. From the Garden of Eden. He knew Christ said, I'm returning again, and I'm going to receive my people unto me. So the earth is in a very damnable position with man walking in the opposite of the ways of God. God has never left mankind. He's been there. He says, pray. Jesus said, pray. Let me show you how to pray. Matthew 6, the model prayer. Let me show you how you are to pray to the Father. God has said, bring your burdens to me and leave them there. God is where? Through prayer. God has always been with us through prayer. He's never far away. People feel these far away because their worth is that works are worthless. Their works are worthless. Walking about can't add one cubit to their lives. Money in the bank ain't taking a dime with them when they lay them in the coffin, if they're lucky. Everybody I know talking about cremation, if they're lucky. Like the billionaire investor died last week. Billionaire investor. Not a dime going with him. Yeah, well, you know, his estate will go on, his trust will go on. But I'm not talking about that right now. We're talking about the person, he himself. So we need to take a look at ourselves. God is there. I don't care if the churches is not really preaching that. He's talking to you right now. He's not talking to a church with 2,000 or 3,000 in it. He's talking to you right now. What are you doing to show God in your life that he's not really far away? He says, if you return to me, I'm coming back to you. That's what he said. His son left that prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. That's the problem. We're making things on earth our God. We're making things on earth our Father. Anything that you lead, that leads you about, and that we make a decision to follow by way of our personalities, our money, our deeds, our doings, that's our God, that's our Father. So when the going gets rough and you open the newspaper up and you see where nutcases, and some are saying, no, they're not really nuts. They just have problems. You see nutcases killing and beheading and making laws unto themselves. My goodness, what are we supposed to do? You know what? We're supposed to do what the Bible tells us in the book of Zedekiah. I'm going to read a little bit of that because I have my Bible right here. It's either Zedekiah or Zechariah. Let me just turn to this chapter here. Okay. I thought I had my hand on it, and time is passing. But I'm going to read here in the book of Zechariah, okay? And it says here, let's see, Zechariah, okay. I'm reading Zechariah 14, for those of you that have your Bible, it says here, "And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, the people, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague." Now, he's talking about a plague. He's talking about some problems. He's talking about how in our day, in their time, but in our days as well, man is going to rise up against man. We see this, but what is the way of escape? What is the way of escape? Is there going to be a way of escape? The Bible tells us, yes, in the book of Revelation, that in Revelation 21, 1 through 4, it's not going to be any more pain, cry, outcry, death shall be no more. God, his tent shall be with mankind. But we've got to get to that point. And you know how you get to that point? Believing in God and in his son, Christ Jesus. The Bible says he sent his son. Yes, Satan has sent his crew. We see them, we feel them. But have they been able to turn one drop of carnage away from the nation? Have they been able to stop Mr. Death? No, they have not. Have they been able to do anything with climate change? Have they been able to do anything with the high cost of medication? Look at all those across the nation performing surgeries that weren't necessary. Greed. What's going on in every institution of man? People are sighing and dying, and they're reaching out. So you can feel confident reaching out, because God is not far away. Again, he's an ever-present source in the day of trouble. But if you follow man, if you follow their wickedness, listen, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, you got some people walking around, they don't want to hear that, because their pockets is loaded down with money, and they think their armpits don't smell. But I got news for you. I got news for you. He said, "I'm going to send flood. I'm going to send tornado. I'm going to send earthquake. I'm going to send Mr. Earthquake." And he said, "And when I finish with them, the sun is going to refuse to give a light, and the moon is going to refuse to shine." He said, "I'm going to take care of them." But here's the sign. When you hear and see all these things of disaster going on, yes, people say, "Oh, well, we've had this all along. Look at the last 30 years. No, you have not, liar. No, you have not seen these things. No, you have not. No, you have not. When you look at Matthew, the 7th chapter, when you look and see what is going on today and how all it was all over the globe, yes, centuries ago it was in one particular country, one particular state. Look at us now. Every state, every city, every country is crying and groaning. Hunger, famine, death, murder. Look at us. So while we ask, where is God? He's never left us. But by our actions and by our words, we've got to show God that we're even worthy of being heard. But he gave us a job to do. He said, "Go ye therefore, preach and teach, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." And he said, "I'm going to be with you until the end." You know, Satan is not going to give you nothing. You know, the devil ain't going to give you nothing. The Bible says the whole power of the world is lying in his power. So for those that call on the name of God, he says, "I'm going to save you." He said, those that call on the name, not the title Lord, but on the name. What is his name? Psalms 83, 18 says that they may know that my name is Jehovah. Those that call on that name shall be saved. Now, if you want to take a chance and do anything else, it's on you. But next week, we're going to hear about this next cry. Is it really worth it? You're going to find out why. And you need no cash to pay for it. Thank you for tuning in. This is Marcia, Dr. Cupertino, the Hour for Power on the Dr. Cupertino Show.